Well, greetings, everyone. Welcome back to another, and I'll say an extra episode of the Extra Point Podcast. As you know, we mentioned this Sunday, we're releasing 5 Extra Point Podcasts this week. Each one, each day, is focused on one of our applicational statements from Sunday. Today, of course, is July 16th, Tuesday, and so we're looking at applicational statement number 2. If you missed yesterday, or even if you missed Sunday, these are 5 statements designed and kind of worked over by our elders that are designed to help us put into practice really the call of Colossians 3, 1-4. That was our text on Sunday. And it says to set our minds on things above, seek those things above. And so these are 5 applicational statements, 1 a day this week, that are aimed at helping us do that. And on today's podcast, I have the pleasure of welcoming our Director of Operations, R.J. Parks. R.J., welcome.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
And this is your first time on the Extra Point Podcast, right?
First time on the Extra Point. Many times on the Bearded 3, though.
Yeah, you're kind of a podcast pro on some other ones, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm a pro, but...
Well, I'm so glad you could join us. RJ's been here a long time as our Director of Operations and even longer as a member in his family. And so I'm glad you're here to talk about this applicational statement. You're aware of it. Let me go ahead and verbalize it for us. And then I'd just like to ask you, what's your first thoughts? When you hear this statement, what are some of your first thoughts, okay?
Okay.
We're encouraging our folks to apply Colossians 3, 1-4 by keeping their physical life in its proper place.
You know, physical life to me, I think the first thing I think of is, you know, your health, your well-being, keeping that in its proper place. Like, you know, probably not, you know, either overvaluing it or undervaluing it when it comes to physical health, you know, that kind of keep it in that middle ground, right? Where you're not so focused on it that you can't be focused on anything else. But you also, I think one of the things that we can, you know, fall into a trap is undervaluing it. And that's where you don't have to take care of yourself at all, right? And where I know we're going to get to this here in a minute with a verse, but out of James. But just kind of thinking like, you know, we're not really promised tomorrow. So why would we, what's the point of caring for our body, you know, caring for our physical health if we're not sure what tomorrow brings? So that's probably the first thing that comes to my mind. And just how you reconcile that to kind of stay in that middle lane.
Okay, middle lane's good. Yeah, because there is a place for the body.
For sure.
In the first century here, one of the heresies was that the body was evil. Like all material things were evil. That's mm-hmm. Gnosticism. And so right. They wouldn't even include the body. We don't believe that, but we don't think it's, you know, like... superhuman, like we're not going
right.
to worship the body.
Right, exactly.
So I like the way you put that, overvalue and undervalue. The text that we have attached to this applicational statement is James 4, 13 through 15. Can you read those 3 verses for us?
Yeah, for sure. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Indeed, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.
So James there, and maybe if I said Paul earlier, I may have just so used to saying Paul, I said, I'm not sure, yeah. But it's actually James here. James here puts it in the place of a vapor. That's an interesting metaphor, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that hit my head, and I'd like to know your thoughts on this, is you know, a vapor, generally speaking, typically doesn't leave a mark. And a lot of us are so concerned about leaving our mark on the world, you know, leaving an imprint. I don't think that's necessarily sinful if it's in the right place again.
Yeah.
But James here, he uses a word that really, once it dissipates, you never knew it was there.
Right. Yeah.
That's very humiliating or humbling, I should say.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I know other translations use the word mist too.
Mm.
Kind of the same thing. So I think of that. I think of like that morning fog when you go outside and you feel the fog on you, but just for a moment, you know, you feel it on your skin, but it vaporizes really quickly, you know, it's gone. So kind of that same idea, you know.
And when we think about this, I think I mentioned this Sunday when I preached through it, is what comes to my mind is the word temporary versus permanent.
Hmm.
So I think one of the places that we need to keep our physical life is in the place of the temporary, like we do have a body. We'll have a glorified one later. That's theologically true. But the one we have on this earth won't last forever in the sense of in the way it is. It's decaying, right?
Right.
So it's temporary. So we don't want to assume that something this temporary is what we should give all of our focus on,
mm-hmm.
like you said. So anyway, it's just interesting words there. I know that in the last probably, 8 months to a year, you've had some surprises even with your own physical
yeah.
situation that you've had to deal with. I think you're dealing with them really well, but you were kind of surprised by that, weren't you?
Yeah. Actually, it was almost 2 years ago.
2 years.
Was my first episode when I got diagnosed with an AFib condition with my heart. It was just a normal day here at First Family, and I was going through my normal routine on opening up the building for a group that was coming to use it, and didn't think anything of it when I woke up that day, and it hit me pretty suddenly. There's a lot of questions that start going through your mind, and within a few hours I was laying in a hospital bed and not sure what the future meant for me, you know, a passage like this does come to your mind. Like, you know, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. You get that sense of, you're just a person, right? Like, you feel it pretty quickly when something like that happens, when you're laying in a hospital bed and you're not sure what's happening tomorrow. You're not sure what the doctors are going to tell you. You just feel a sense of vulnerability. Like you're just, you're kind of at everyone else's mercy and what's going to happen to you. So,
I mean, you realize that control is an illusion,
right? Yeah, for sure.
They said this before, you know, balance is a myth.
Yeah.
And control is an illusion. Like it's true in a lot of ways. When you were in that moment, when that first happened, even maybe continuing forth as you kind of dealt with this in different ways, do you feel like this is a lot more temporary than I realized? Like, or I'm a lot more temporary than I realized.
Yeah.
That crush your mind much?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Especially when you're unsure of what the change in what you're going to have to do going forward to remain healthy. You do feel like, hey, you know, I'm not really in as much control as I thought I was of even my own self, you know. I can take care of myself, but there's still other things that are going to happen to me. So yeah, you feel vulnerable. You feel like you have no control, and it's a feeling of you're really only here for a short time.
Now, this wasn't the first time you probably had some of those thoughts. If you would you be willing to share the story of your dad and
yeah,
and that story? I mean, he didn't die like really young in one sense, like when you're in high school, but probably earlier than maybe people expect to die.
Right. Yeah. My dad was 63 when he passed. He was about 52 when he first got sick. So I was 18. I was off at college, my first year of college, when he started getting the symptoms of being sick. And we were told right away that he wouldn't live very long. They were talking about 6 months or so. That 6 months turned into about 12 years. Which was great. We got to have my dad around for a lot longer than we had anticipated. But you did, we got into this cycle with him that he was in the hospital every couple months, it felt like. And we'd go visit him and you find out, oh, he's actually going to be okay. And, you know, he'd go home for a few months, then he'd be back in the hospital. And it was just kind of a cycle that we went through for about 12 years. Every couple months. And finally, there was one time where we went and the doctor said there was just nothing more they could do for him. And they were going to put him into hospice care, which was a big surprise to us because we were kind of trained to be in that mode of, well, he's going to be okay. And we'll probably do this again in 3 or 4 months. Right. So that one time you find out that, yep, he's not going to be okay. And so then hospice care came. They actually took him home and he lived at his home for just another day and ended up passing pretty quickly right after that. So you get that sense of, that feeling was that you were going to see him, you know, multiple more times, because that's just kind of what you've been trained to see. You're in that cycle. And then one day it just comes that he's not there. So that was something that was pretty tough for me to kind of go through. My son had just been born. He was 6 weeks old at the time. So it's been 20 years now, but it was a tough time just kind of witnessing that and living through it. So,
you can imagine how hard that would be. And I've never been through it, so I can't pretend to know exactly. But it is interesting how quickly we get accustomed to what we have and what we see and thinking it'll last forever, when in reality, even if we are healthy, and that perhaps is an illusion too, because even while we're healthy, the truth is our body is decaying from the day we're born.
Yeah.
We start a march toward the grave from the day we enter the world. And so it's just interesting, this idea of our bodies, and we should keep our physical life in its proper place. Anything you want to add to that? Anything that you've been thinking about or dwelling on in regards to our physical life, its proper place, that might help those who go to First Family?
Yeah, I mean, so through my journey here the last year and a half, 2 years, one thing that I've noticed, you know, I'm trying to eat better, trying to take care of myself a little bit more, get more exercise, which is good. And the reason that I want to do that, even though, like as the verse we just read says, we're not sure what tomorrow brings. And this is where I want to really stress on not undervaluing, you know, our physical body, right? A lot of us would probably much rather, you know, eat ice cream, I know you would, than have any fruits and vegetables, right? And if we're not sure what tomorrow brings, or if we'll even be alive tomorrow, why not just enjoy this stuff, right? And I think about that and think, well, you know, God does have a plan for me. I want to serve the Lord. That's really hard for you to do when you're, you know, in a hospital bed, or you're constantly battling this feeling of tiredness, or fatigue has just got you so down that, you know, you go and do a day's work and then you can't do anything else, right? You can't go out into the public and you can't talk to people. You can't share about Jesus. Those are things that I want to continue to do. And I know some people get the idea of, well, you know, like they look at my dad and think, well, you know, an early death meant, you know, he didn't actually get to see my son grow up. And that's, you know, my heart hurts for him for that. It hurts for my son that he didn't get to see that. And when I think of that, like I want to see my son's kids grow up, I also think that's kind of a selfish thing. And I don't want that, right? I don't want to do this for a selfish reason. I want to do it for the Lord's plan. And the Lord has a plan for my life. So I want to make sure that I'm physically able to do what he has in store for me for these next how many years we ever have, right? So,
yeah. And you say about how many years we have, however many that is. I think there are two theological points that really help us keep the physical life in its place. And you can respond to these. Let me just share them briefly. One is that every person has a set of ordained days.
Yep.
And that's helpful. In fact, I would say, and I can say this in this moment because we're not at a funeral. These are hard to say at a funeral. I don't think I ever do, actually. But technically and theologically, no one dies early.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord sets in place our ordained days. That's out of the Bible, that phrase, you know. He's ordained our days. And so I have a great confidence that whatever days are in front of me, I want to, like you said, I want to try to take care of the temple I have, the tent that I've been given. You've been given one. All of us have a tent that houses the real us. Do what I can, even though it's decaying and it's bound to rot, do what I can during my ordained days that God will give me to serve him.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's a set of days that have been ordained by God is actually comforting to me. The second truth is this. When that body does decay and end, I'll have a glorified body that I'll serve him eternally in the new heavens and new earth. So it's not just some ethereal space out there where we're floating around.
Right.
We don't become angels.
Mm-hmm.
It's an actual glorified body like Christ. Christ is actually bodily in heaven.
Yeah.
So think about that. We'll be able to eternally, without fatigue, serve the Lord on the new earth and in the new heavens. And that is exciting to me. So even though no one wants to die as a human, we don't look forward to the process of dying. Death's not something people welcome. I have no problem saying that. It does help us in moments when we're not dying, so to speak, to assure ourselves that when we do die, what's ahead is actually better.
Yeah.
And that helps me keep this physical life in its proper place. Thoughts on that? Any comments?
Yeah, I would just say that's exactly what I think of when I think of my dad. So, like I said, like it hurts me that, you know, it's a pain to me that he didn't get to see my son grow up. But at the same time, I'm also going to rejoice that when my son gets to heaven, he's going to see my dad and he's going to see him in a new body. He's not going to see the tired, fatigued, dying body that he had here for those 6 weeks my son was alive. you know, which obviously he doesn't remember what he looked like or anything then, but he's not going to see that in my dad. He's going to see the new body.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that, yeah, of course I'm going to rejoice in that. So
that's good. Well, it does remind me to make sure you, our listeners, the flock at First, let me know this, that it's theology that keeps you grounded when difficulties arise. You won't be able to trust your feelings, but you can trust what you believe from the Bible. And so moments when we see our decay, when our physical life takes a turn for the worst, when we have to experience the death of others, your feelings will want to lie to you. That's when you plant your feet firmly in what you know that God's word said. So I want to encourage you in this topic, especially, embrace these theological points, plant your feet in them so that you can keep your physical life in its proper place now and when it gets even more difficult. Hope this applicational statement has helped you. RJ, thanks for leaning in with some real personal stories.
Yeah, of course.
And just sharing some of your life with us. And church, remember, these are aimed to help us set our minds on things above, to seek those things which are above. Let's do that today and look forward to joining you again tomorrow on another extra episode of the Extra Point Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.